It is so good to be here on a sunny day. I was so excited. Even though I lost an hour of sleep, it's okay. Let's stand and join in singing our call to worship in the name of the Lord. And while you stand, if there hasn't been anyone that you haven't said hey to or wave, just wave and say hello. Yell across the thing. All right. Across the aisle. Here we go.
Good morning, and a beautiful morning. I'm glad to see sun. I know we have rain next week. I wish it'd just stay away. I'm not done with the house. It needs to stay away till I'm done. If you're here for the first time this morning, there are welcome information cards in the back seats of the pews. Please fill them out. Put them in the offering plate when you leave. We'd love to have your information, contact you, and hope to see you again. For announcements this morning, remember Wednesday, March 24th, we have a business meeting. Saturday, March 27th, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. is the Easter egg hunt. We still need candy, plastic eggs, and most importantly, volunteers to help. We don't have any volunteers lined up to facilitate the crafts and the games and the egg hunt yet. So if you'd like to volunteer for that, please contact Lindsay, and she will probably tell you to call me, and I'm going to tell you to call her. So either one of us will be fine. Sunday, March 28th, Palm Sunday, and March 28th is the COC food collection. Wednesday, March 31st will be no Wednesday services, followed by Monday, Thursday, but it's not on the calendar yet. Remember, we are back to the regular schedule, Sunday school at 10, regular service at 11. Wednesday night, 6:30 Bible study. We are doing the Experiencing God Bible study. There are workbooks. Are there still some available? You can talk to Travis about that, and if we run out, we will order more. But we invite everyone to attend that on Wednesday nights. We are also planning on resuming children's church during service. We need volunteers. We do not have teachers for that. We can't provide for the children if we don't have teachers. If you were signed up before, and obviously we haven't done it in about a year, but get up with Nancy Tartt. We need at least four groups. So you only have to do one Sunday a month. If we have more than that, it'd be even better. But please, if your heart's in it, we need to restart this program for the children. Let me double check, make sure I'm not forgetting anything. I'm sure I am, because I always do. If I forgot it, we'll get it next Sunday. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for letting us gather today in your house on this beautiful Sunday morning. Although I joke about it not raining, the rain's also a reminder of your love for us. Just let us enjoy everything around us, everything you've given us, everything you've provided for us, the whole world that you created for us, for without it we would not survive. Don't ever let us forget how much you cared for us, that you sent your only begotten Son to die on a cross for our sins to protect us. And just open our hearts to the message that you have prepared through Mr. Hurley today. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
I haven't said this in over a year. Please take your hymn book and turn to page 333 and let's sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. We're going to sing the first, second, and fourth. Third. Well, however many there are.
Lean on the everlasting arms. Good morning. We are fortunate that I've been able to get guest speakers to come in to help in leading our Sunday service. And Mark Hurley is our speaker today. His wife is Sue, our secretary, and I just want to tell you how much we love Sue. She does the bulletins and all these things, and again, we're fortunate to have her. I told Gwen yesterday when I saw the bulletin that I was going to introduce him, and I said, I don't know anything about him. She said, well, it's kind of late for you to be thinking about that now. So always have a good wife to kick you down, you know. Anyhow, when I met Mark this morning, I said, you know, I don't know anything about you, so can you tell me something? And he said, he loves the Lord. And I said, that's all that matters. Okay. So, Mark, welcome to Tramway, and looking forward to your message today.
Kind of hook me up so I can move around a little bit. And it's kind of bad to be introduced and say, I don't know anything about you. Can you tell anything about you? Because I got to introduce you, and it's like, don't really know what to tell you except I love the Lord, you know, because I mean, I really do, and I don't. I just want to empty myself out. And when this was, I told Sue, I said, if they need somebody to speak, I hadn't really spoke a message in quite a while. But I said, if there's a need, I said, I'll be glad to do it. And so when the time came, you know, and she said, they already got you signed up. I'm like, wow. I said, okay. So I asked the Lord, because I said, if it's your will for me to do this, and I don't know all the folks there or anything like that, and I just said, Lord, I surrender to you to open me up to say whatever I need to say to the folks here. That's all I want to do. And you know what happens when you ask the Lord and you say, I surrender, and when you empty yourself out, I mean, because if you're going to make room for him to talk through you and through let the Holy Spirit use the person for you, then you got to make room. So I don't know what he did, but he began to work on me because, you know, doing isolation with COVID and all the things going on, you know, we all have stuff, don't we? We do. We do. And the thing is that this world is getting crazy. It really is, and he really needs us to get in line, whether we're, if we're not born again, we need to get there. If we are, we need to get in line, and that's kind of what the message is about today, is design of who we are, who he created us to be, I think the Holy Spirit will begin to work on me, and I don't know how he's going, because when you begin to speak truth and speak truth and love, and the need that other people who don't know who Jesus is, they don't know him. We're the ones. That's why we are here. We're here in order to spread that love and make sure that we bring them into the kingdom. We're not to come in and say, I accept Jesus and go about your daily business. It's about opening up your heart and allowing him to come in and work through to bring other people on board. It's not about fire insurance. Y'all heard that, haven't you? You know, it's not about that. We're here to bring other people in. So let's get started. And Jim, I am so sorry that I did not give you, it's going up here, well, he didn't say, I don't know what to say. You know, you should have asked earlier. No. Let's open up in prayer. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We ask that you just rest upon us right now and open up our eyes, open up our spiritual eyes, our spiritual ears. And this message is just use me to say whatever it is that needs to be said to the hearts of people. Your kingdom needs to step up. It's the old song, Armor Christian Soldiers. It's time to battle up, suit up. The enemy's been beating us down, trying to tell us what we need to do and how to do it. And it's time to step up, because this the world is not too far off from ending. We don't know the time and date, but it's soon. And it's time to harvest what needs to be harvested. The fruit is ripe. Use us as a living sacrifice for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Text is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And Paul is writing to the believers in Rome. And Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, and that means that's all believers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Which is your spiritual worship. That's who we are. We worship through the Spirit. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is and what is good and acceptable and perfect. And I kind of talked about it, but being a living sacrifice, it's saying, I step into it. I just don't say, Jesus, you're my Savior, but it's like, I will get in alignment and I step into, and this is kind of about the experiencing God that y'all are going through. I don't know how far you're into it, but this is the crux of the beginning of it, is that you have to have a love relationship. You have to know your shepherd when he speaks. You know his voice. You feel his presence. He guides and directs through the Holy Spirit your lives to the point when you go out, and we've done studies and stuff, but on these things. But when you get the Holy Spirit in you, he is power, but he is a person, and he resides in you. And as Christians, when we begin to walk in our day, we need to look and say, don't say, well, God, show me something today. If it's time, you know, let me know a little bit of something going on. I'll go help somebody. No, we are to intentionally say, Spirit, lead me, guide me, direct me into who I need to run across today in order to let your Spirit draw them to me, because I'm different. So being transformed and being the renewal of the mind, those are kind of things that that we need to be in focus on. To be conformed to the world, it's easy to slip into that with all the COVID and everything that's going on. Even sometimes, how many of us really realize too, and I know that when I'm speaking this stuff, I'm speaking about me too, that we get so wrapped up in the business, the next thing you know is so rampant, the business, that we began to make all our decisions on ourselves. We began to start branching away from seeking his perspective on what we need to do as Christians under his guidelines and be obedient, but because it's just so busy. Or the news begins to suck us up into that, when our phones go off and everything, we're wanting to see what the headline is because it's changing so fast. And I think it's great to look at the news, to see what's going on, and to be concerned. We need to be, and we need to be concerned about what's going on, but we also don't need to be so consumed by it that we lose what we're grounded to be in, and that is grounded in the Holy Spirit, and stay focused on what he wants us to do about what's going on. So there's another thing in the passage, and it includes testing to grow our faith. How many of y'all ever stepped into it and said, Lord, I'm here, send me, and then you know what he's going to do? He's going to test you. And it kind of reminds me of John 15, where it says, the vine and the branches, I'm the vine, you are the branches, and there's pruning going on. That don't feel so good, does it? I mean, we have to get the dead stuff out of us and to break it off. But when that fruit begins to come out and produce, then that pruning was well worth it, because there's going to be exceeding joy that's coming from it. Amen. Yeah. Are y'all here with me? I just want to show. All right, good. This is really good. This is Dr. Tony Evans. He states in his Bible commentary, and this is Psalms verses 1 and chapter 1, verse 3. A tree bears fruit in its season, and it indicates that he is a blessed person and he is productive, maximizing their potential. Okay? Importantly, fruit reveals something about the quality of the tree that bears it. And if you're not bearing worthwhile fruit, then it's because there's nothing worthwhile inside of you. And that's so true. You know, one, you know, it's more of where our focus is at. And moreover, trees don't eat their own fruit. The fruit exists for the benefit of others. And that's what we're supposed to be. That's really good. Thus, know that because we don't eat our fruit, know that when we are blessed, the time that we really are blessed is when we're actually pouring out and blessing others. That's where we get it, because we can't eat our own fruit. I'm going to get to it a little bit later on, but, you know, I'll just wait. In the passage in Romans, it also says, do not be conformed to this world. And so, just like me, I ask God to work on me and, you know, clean me out of what I need to have done. And so some of the questions that I'm going to ask as we go through this is to allow the Holy Spirit to say, what are some of the things that, and Sue and I have a ministry, and we always say, what is God saying? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you so that getting his perspective and opening up your heart, that it allows him, and if you get quiet enough in this crazy world, is to hear what he says about, and his conviction is sweet. He just wants to say, hey, too much Netflix. You know, Netflix, you can't hardly find, you know, our FaceTime in our screens. We need more FaceTime with God than we need FaceTime in the screens. That's especially me. How many of y'all, on Sunday mornings, I don't know, it's on Sunday mornings, but when my phone will ring and or ding, and I go and look at it, and it tells me if how much more increase or decrease I've been using my phone. And so when I get it, I look, I'm going, all right, it's down 25%, so I'm kind of happy with it, you know. So it's those kind of things that, you know, but what is it that you believe that being conformed to this world, if there are things in your heart where you're not aligning in or we're stepping out of bounds a little bit too much, just think about those things in which God wants to bring to your heart during the rest of this time together. So because we've been really kind of talking about fruit and everything else, I kind of want to go back to the Garden of Eden and let's kind of look at the beginning about our design. And God created everything in the heavens and the earth, and of course on the sixth day he created man. Genesis 1:27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. We are created in his image, and that is mind and spirit and soul or will. His design for us is to receive his love, and that's what we're here for, to receive his love and then to give love and adoration back to him, form that relationship, and then grow our relationship and begin to help and to be with other people and to draw them closer to God. That's what our design is for. And then it continues on, and it says, and two, one thing about it is think about the garden. I think it's really cool if you think about Adam and Eve, and I'm sure y'all have done this, and the perfect garden, everything is there, it's all created for them, it's beautiful, perfect temperature, everything is going so well, and the best thing is not only, they had the best love relationship with God than anybody at the beginning, because they had the opportunity to see and visit with him in the cool of the day. And they also, because they were mind, soul, and spirit, they had an opportunity to worship him in spirit. So they were always in tune and had that love relationship with him. So it's a special time, and it's a shame that the fall came. You know, so it happens. So what occurs during that time is that when the fall occurred, God said that you will die, but you will not die physically. You will die spiritually. And think about it. From that point in time, even until this day right now, that is spiritual death that is still intact today. Only can we be born again or born of the Spirit if we accept Jesus Christ to make our spirits whole again as they were in the beginning. And I know this is all story, but I don't know. God just seems to really bring it to point that it's about being born of the Spirit of God and allowing that Holy Spirit to be a part of you and having kingdom in you, so that you can go and be a living sacrifice to other people. You know, that's what we're designed to do. Yeah. Next thing I'm going to talk about is when we do accept Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit begins to draw an awareness of our sin, and we begin to realize through powerful conviction that there must be a change, there must be a turnaround in our life. A lot of times people, they either repent or confess, but true repentance is to turn around and to move away from what it was that you repented from. So those are the kind of things that we turn. That's true repentance. And once you begin to surrender that, at that time and moment when you surrender and you're ready for Jesus, and even to be, if you stepped away from Jesus as a believer and stepped back into his love, it's the same thing. Once you surrender, then the true love of that instantaneous love that he has for you, it hits, and then your true spirit meets Jesus, and that washing and that cleansing that truly is there is when the true love of God begins in your life. And I know y'all have experienced it, and it is truly special. And to stay underneath that umbrella of the experience that he wants to take you through and grow you through to do his work. And experiencing God, one of the seven, you know, the seven realities, God works everywhere. But to get to the point where we want to be in there and work with God, then we've got to do a lot of growing and getting there. So, listen to Peter, chapter 1, verse, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. You love him even though you've never seen him. Though you have not seen him now, you trust him. And you rejoice, and with glorious, inexpressible joy. So, once you receive Jesus, that, you know, we don't see him, but we just really just lavish and stay into his presence. Okay. The love of God begins at the point of true surrender. So transformation and the renewal of the mind, it begins. And this is so good. It's what I was born for that releases me into my potential, my eternal purpose. My potential, my eternal purpose. Okay? I am at my best when I'm in love. Jim says, yeah, we all love Sue. I said, I love Sue too. She's really good. And Amber. But still, I'm at my best is when my love with God is where it needs to be. And when I'm that way, when you're that way, then my love for Sue is stronger. My love for my daughter is stronger. The neighbor that I see, that it's a widow or a friend or a family member, when I see those, God pours out in me and says, go and do this. Go and do that. And that's where you step into obedience. And you don't do it just because you think it's an obligation. It's like, Lord, you love me so much that all I want to do is to do what you say because of the love relationship that we have. That's the way I want to do it. You know? That's the way he wants us to do it too. Sometime, and I'm sure y'all have done this, I have. I've been in an elevator at a hospital, and God said, you need to speak with that lady. I don't know what you need to do, but you need to talk with her. Because she had somebody in the hospital. I just kind of let it pass. And I knew that was an opportunity that I missed. So we always want to be or need to be in tune so that we know how to respond, when to respond. And when he usually prompts us, it's usually not, let's not do this next week or the next hour. When he prompts, usually it's what? Now, hit it. Because it's my time. And whether people reject you or if you want to say something, go tell that person over there that tell them that I love them with all my heart. And tell them that God loves. You know, tell them, say, you could, Mark, go over there and tell that person God loves you. And if they reject you and get all upset and think you all crazy, it don't matter. What he said is, plant a seed. I may find somebody else to go over, and they may bring him and draw them to me. But I want you to plant a seed. So, but again, as the fruit tree begins, and as it begins to spread its fruit, that's what we do. We bless others, and that's where we get our blessing, by the pouring and the outflow of the Holy Spirit. We all know that Jesus is our example. And when Jesus started his ministry, he was being baptized. And the heavens, this is where the Trinity comes together at one time in the Bible. Can you imagine being there? Think about this. The heavens open up. Dove descends as the Holy Spirit. And it didn't land on Jesus and fly away. Matthew says it rested on him. So because it rested on him, that means that Jesus received, because he gave up all his deity, all his power, everything he did. He came down here completely as man, completely. No power, but only to trust in what his Father's doing. And he's empowered by the person in the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's doing. And that's our go-to. That's, you know, when we are born again... What a perfect role model. We're to do as Jesus did. What did he do? He received the Holy Spirit and he began his ministry in power. When the lady touched the hem of his garment, when she touched the hem of his garment, people touched him all the time. But just as soon as she touched him, she had faith. He felt power release out of him. It's unlimited. He's going to get restocked. But he knew that there was a withdrawal. And he really wanted to know. He says, what's going on? And he's going like, she touched me. Okay? He's got unlimited power. We too have, when we're born again, we have the Holy Spirit that lives in us. He provides unlimited resources in our hearts. So here's the thing too. We're not to quench. We're not to quench the Holy Spirit. We're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We are to open up our hearts and to allow it to flow through like a river, rather than to be dammed up with debris and stuff that from this world that blocks that flow. We're allowed to operate in that measure. There's a kind of a part-time employee that works with us in the business that we have, and he's up on this ladder. He's got his ladder. He's got his hose. He's got all the washing materials, the Windex, and he's cleaning windows. You know, the pollen. How many of y'all remember? You get bugs, pollen, spider webs. So he's right in the process of doing this. Well, I see him working out there. He's a character, but I see him working out there. He doesn't see me. And I go by over, and I grab the hose, and I crimp it. And he, you know, I can hear him on the other side, and I'm trying not to laugh. But he's over there trying to get these windows clean. He's got everything he needs. And he's got that hose, and I got that hose cream. And he is going, what is going on here? And so I pop it open, and of course, you know, it shoots across his face and everything, but it doesn't hit him. But that's kind of like God has prepared us to do certain things, and there's things for us to do. And it shows me that whether, you know, if you're cleaning a window and you're getting it nice and clean, you're missing the main ingredient. The hose is crimped. The Holy Spirit can't flow out of that hose. He can't flow out of you unless it is released to the full capacity to begin to wash away the things that are dirty, you know. And so sometimes I ask myself, what's causing me to crimp my hose? What is it that's keeping me away from the fullness of what God has for me? What am I holding back from? So those are the kind of things that God has been putting into my heart regarding this. There are several Christian news stations, and it's like Victory Channel. I think it's maybe Kenneth Copeland. There's CBN, American Family Radio. There are some great Christian and news outlets that bring truth to journalism of what's going on in the world. And we listen to it all the time. And there's one program on the Victory Channel, and it's Flashpoint. And it's kind of emceed by a pastor, and they have folks on there. But there's a guy on there, his name's Mario, and he went to California, to Bakersfield. This is probably in February, maybe late January. He went to Bakersfield, and that is a town that's really being overrun by drugs, gangs, just all kind of stuff going on. Mario goes over there and begins to do a tent revival. You know California has been locked down tight, but God put it on his heart, and he went to that town. And there was probably about 300 to 400 people that were gathered in that tent. And they even had to get bigger tents as the revival continued. But there was such a powerful pull of the Holy Spirit that was there. You're talking about things being ripe and ready, that drug dealers and gang members were just... They were just opening up their hearts, and they were getting born again. Salvation was happening all over the tent. Healing was happening. Things are beginning to ramp up. Drug dealers were even bringing their drugs and getting rid of them. They went to the car, and they said, here, I don't even want my drugs anymore. It's filth. It's a realization that I'm clean, and there's a transformation that occurred there. There's a change. There's a repentance that happened. But the thing is that several of the pastors in that area began to talk with him, and they're saying, we need to repent, and we need to, you know, the Jesus movement was in back in the 70s, and it started in California and began to erupt. Time is getting short in this world. It really is. And these pastors now, instead of just around the Bakersfield community, these pastors have over 1,000 now. And sometime this month, it may be next week, it may be this week, I'm not sure. But the thing is that all these pastors are going to begin. It's not a conference. They want to repent for themselves. They want to repent on behalf of their churches. And they want to repent on behalf of this nation. And what that's going to do is going to begin probably maybe even the Great Awakening. There's going to be revival spreading across the nation. Our nation is in need. And I think, too, just the way that our nation is divided, that it's pressing each other together. But people are saying, I need hope. I need something to reach for. I need something that I can depend on. And guess what? It's us. Yeah. Do not be conformed to this world. So if we're conformed impartially, and we're being infected by some of the stuff that's going on, and we're not aligning ourselves with God, we're not using his perspective to filter out the things that that are not good for us, and to rely on him, then how can people find hope in us? Do they see a difference? Have you ever heard, there's a song, is there evidence? Would you be convicted of loving the Lord? Is there enough evidence? You know, and so The Lord has just put it impressed on me so hard, and I don't even know if I was going to even be able to contain myself up here, because the Holy Spirit's power is so strong, and overwhelming within me. And when I do speak love and truth, His presence is just phenomenal, and you can't contain it. But what I'd like to do is, if there's anyone here, because we need to get in line, and if there's anybody here at all who's never, ever received Jesus Christ as their Savior, now's the time. We need people to step up and to do things for the Lord, do things for the kingdom. Our Father in heaven, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? On earth, as it is in heaven. How do we do that? We honor God and give Him glory, hallowed be your name. You get everything. But the thing is, the kingdom's in us to spread. That's why we're here, to spread the kingdom. That's what we're designed for. So, let's bow our heads. Lord, You love us so much. You really, really want our hearts. You want our hearts being tuned. You want a love relationship. You want a restoration. You want us to make sure that we restore ourselves. And if there's anyone here who's never accepted Jesus, right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you will, just slip up your hand. Is there anybody that wants to receive the Lord? Okay, there's another group in here that we're all believers, at least at this time. And just kind of listen to what Peter did to Jesus. He denied Him three times before He was arrested. And even before that, he denied Him three times after He was arrested. But also, before He was arrested, Peter, James, and John, they were to wait and to watch for Jesus while He was in the garden praying to His Father. And they fell asleep three times. And you got to imagine that Peter's like, I've been with You a long time, Lord. I've been loving You. We've been doing ministry together. And I denied You. And what he felt at that time. And listen to the words of the gospel. It says that after they ate breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love Me? Is that not a sweet, convicting way to restore somebody? It's not to condemn, it's not to criticize. So if there's anybody here, if you're just sitting in our seats, or if you want to come up to the altar, it doesn't matter, whatever is pulled to your heart, but for safety's sake or whatever, you can just stay at your seat. But while your head is bowed, put your name where Simon Peter's name is, and listen to Jesus say, you know, like, Mark, do you love Me? And what Jesus wants to do is to reaffirm our commitment and our heart to Him. And so if there's things that you need to release this morning, just right now in silence and in prayer, if there's some things that of this world keep slipping in a little bit, because we all have the junk, we all have it. But at this time, this is a time to ask, you know, let the Lord ask you and speak to your heart. Do you love Me? And then reaffirm your faith and release those things that are holding you back. Let's just take a few minutes, just in quiet, maybe some soft music. Mm-hmm. Lord, we are so thankful that you love us. Lord, you love us so much that you don't want us to stray. You don't want us to go in different directions. You want us to be pulled into you and embraced by you. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will just do what he does best, is to flow and let us just be an open conduit to let him, to let the Spirit flow through us and to impact the atmosphere around us by just sharing your love. I just pray that all these folks in here, there's some of them that are just a recommitment, just to get in alignment and to get on board to move forward for your kingdom. We just thank you. Lord, we honor you and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.